Hello and welcome to the Autism Mums podcast.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Natalie.
We're two sisters raising autistic children who know the joy, the challenges and the everyday moments.
This is a supportive space for honest conversations, practical tips, shared strength and expert advice.
Whether you're celebrating a win, surviving a meltdown or just trying to make it through the day, we're right here with you.
Join us as we share the ups, the downs, and everything in between parenting autistic children.
Hello and welcome back. This is part two of our conversation with Carl Draper. Carl is currently training to be a mental health nurse, and he is the founder of Waveslider, where he shares his brilliant photos and documents life with his son Bodhi. Frank, Bodhi's assistance dog, is also a regular on Waveslider. If you haven't listened to part one yet, we'd really recommend going back first because Carl shares some powerful context about what challenging behaviour can look like and how much can change when we start meeting a child's stress response with calm. In today's episode, we pick up the conversation by talking about the things we can't always predict or control. Those sudden changes, those moments where a plan falls apart, and the ways that it can trigger big feelings for our children and for us too. So let's jump back in.
Are there any steps that you can take, do you think, to prevent the behaviours before they escalate, before they reach that peak?
That's a really hard question, because a lot of the times where we're getting to the stage with the things we're speaking about now, what you're now asking is, what do we do about the things we can't control?
It's true.
Or you can't see coming. For example, there's a plane coming at 3:30 this afternoon. Fine, we'll go after school, mate, pick you up. You get down to the airport at 3:15 and the fog rolls in.
Oh, that's so true.
And now the plane's diverted. And you can see it on the tracker going the opposite direction. The things out of your control. So a good one. I've had a lot of stick on Waveslider recently because we've had the fireworks, you know, the bonfire period, bonfire night, where a lot of animals get distressed, a lot of people get distressed, which I'm very well aware of. However, Frank is trained, calm and comfortable to go and watch the fireworks because he goes where Bodhi goes. So we went to see a fireworks display. He had a great time. We went to Ringwood one weekend, and the following weekend we went to Little Down. And I wasn't going to take Frank because it's really busy there, and Bodhi wanted to go on the rides. With your autistic people, you tend to get two types of autistic people, even though all autistic people have different traits and severity and, you know, varying degrees of. You tend to get a sensitive autistic type, want quietness, you know, earphones, that sort of thing. And then you get your sensory seeker, that's Bodhi. I want it loud, I want fast, I want more. I want adrenaline. So he wanted to go on the rides. So I said, well, we won't take Frank and then we can go on the rides. And then I spoke to my youngest daughter, Kira, who's also got an autistic son. And she said, oh, we're going to go to Little Down. Are you taking Frank? And I explained why. And she said, well, how about Zach, my fella, goes on the rides with Bodhi, you hold Frank. So Zach, Kira's fella, he'd more than happy to go on the rides. So we thought, yeah, brilliant. So I took Frank, took Bodhi. We went down there. It was absolutely jam-packed, shoulder to shoulder with people. We went an hour early because Bodhi was impatient. And I thought, fine. We walked around. He made a list of all the rides he wanted to go on, which was basically all of them. Unfortunately, Kira and Zach got into the queue and they sold out of tickets.
Oh, no.
Couldn't get in. Not her fault, you know, it just happened to be that busy that time. So bless her, Kira phones and she's like, I'm really sorry, Dad. We're almost at the front of the queue and they've just sold out of tickets. And like this just pit of despair starts to come into me because I'm like, I've now got to tell Bodhi he can't go any rides and we're standing in front of them. So I had half an hour of hell. I was literally pinned up against the wall. And it was bad for me because I had no escape route. You know, I got there in the end, but yeah, it was really difficult. It's a good opportunity to teach him how to have a strategy and cope with these situations that are out of our control.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, as bad as it was, it turned out really good. So you can't plan for the unseen.
No, I think that's true. As much as we can try, and do everything that we think. You're right, these things come up. We had a day this week where it was raining. I don't know if you had rain. You probably did. You're not that far from us. Rain and rain. And my son's timetable said outdoor learning on one of his slots on his timetable that he refers to before he goes in. So he then didn't know what that session would be because it says outdoor learning, but it can't be outdoor learning because it's rain. And then it spirals into, I can't possibly get out of the car. I can't do this day because it's raining. And it's affected everything. And there's nothing you can do about the rain, as you say.
I'm actually learning to not avoid it because actually, I found a little while ago it's really unhealthy because you find yourself trying to work out what can go wrong and then avoiding it, and then it makes you more stressed.
Oh, so true.
Whereas now I'm at the point of, well, we just deal with it if and when it happens because he's got to learn to become independent one day, and that involves negotiating, the letdowns in the changes in structure. And if we don't teach him how to cope with that, he's not going to learn how to cope with that. He's only going to get worse. So
Yeah,
that's
that's a really
fine.
good attitude to
Yeah, you're
have.
right.
How important is it to have a support system in place?
Yeah, it's everything, isn't it? Really? I mean, Charlie and I, we're just the best team ever. I first met Charlie when I was on the ambulances at Poole and she was a nurse at A&E. We'd very often work together when I'm bringing in really poorly or injured people and children and babies, and we're working together in resus, and you've got that teamwork, that communication, that structured approach. Then we became parents to Bodhi, and then we've been through all this learning process. But she's pretty much my support network. And then on top of that, in today's world where we are now, Frank, a lot of children, I'm not just saying autistic children or neurodivergent children, I'm just saying a lot of children, having an animal in their life. Frank's a better parent than we are. He never gets tired of Bodhi. He never gets grumpy. He never judges. He never tells him off, never shouts at him. He's always got time for him, always happy. And he is the most loyal, protective person. Like, I couldn't protect Bodhi as well as Frank can.
Yeah.
Frank will deal with anything far before I get to it. But then I understand some people are allergic to dogs. Some people can't afford a dog. Some people haven't got the space for a dog. Some people haven't got room for a dog in their sort of daily lives. Support-wise, on top of that, the school, Bodhi's school, when we have problems, we go to his school. They look at it, they introduce something into his timetable to help deal with it, and then we all sing off the same page, if you like, and they start implementing things, and then we're all using the same language, doing the same things. Like, they can help prepare him for something weeks on the build up to it, or if the school helped me learning to relearn my behaviors and parenting styles. So support network is everything, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Even back when I was on the ambulances, there's nothing worse than going to see someone who's died and they're all alone. But when you go and see people at the end of life and they've got a family and a support network around them, you see the difference it makes. And that's just in everyday life. We're a good team and we've got Frank and we've got the school. And Bodhi School is the best school out there, without a doubt.
Sounds really good.
Brilliant.
Yeah, he's got an amazing school. We went from two extremes. We went from when he was non-verbal to being kicked out of that autistic school for climbing a fence and being accused of threatening to bite teachers, which was amazing. I'm like, brilliant, somebody's heard his voice, because we haven't. And all that crap fighting the system and local authorities and what have you, to being at the school we're at now, where they're just everything you'd ever dream of them being as a parent. They're supportive, they're helpful. Bodhi's thriving. We're thriving.
That's great. How did you find the school? Was it one that was suggested to you, or were you aware of it?
No, so we, when he was kicked out of school, he was at home for, I don't remember exactly, 14 months. And during that time, we were fighting his old school and the local authority through the courts. And as part of the deal, or the win, if you like, at the end, we got Bodhi into this school.
Excellent.
It came as part of that. And they've just been amazing. Bodhi's done nothing but thrive since he's got there.
That's really good. It's so important to have them in the right place.
At the same time I'm saying this, I'm thinking about all those shoes left outside the council offices, and
Yeah.
how many parents and families out there might be listening to me now, and well, that's not the case for us. And I'm well aware of that. I'm well aware of the amount of children and families being left behind on a daily basis because of the lack of funding and the system. I just wish every parent out there with a kid like Bodie, if they're listening, I wish you all had a school like Bodie's got. But we had 14 months of hell fighting the school and the local authority, and it was a dirty fight. But luckily, we had a specialist send solicitor, and we did a GoFundMe through Waveslider, so we had a lot of support. Without that, we never would have been able to use that solicitor. Which is another thing that really annoys me on that subject, is why parents of Sen can't get legal aid.
Yeah.
I mean, the Sen solicitor that we used, he's got a big presence online on social media, but the reality is, to have him in your life, you need a lot of money. Without that support, we'd have been left behind.
Yeah, there's a lot that needs changing about the system, isn't there? There aren't
Yeah.
enough schools at all either, the right schools.
It was very profound seeing those pictures of those shoes.
Yeah.
I didn't see any pictures of the local MPs that support disabilities there,
No. No,
though.
me neither.
No,
No.
I knew full well they wouldn't be there either, because we went to our local MP, who apparently is passionate in disabilities, and when we went to this particular MP, we got zero help. Zero.
Can be patchy, can't
Yeah,
it?
I think it so depends who you've got.
We went to four MPs in the local area, and we got the same response from all of them. I'm sorry, you don't live in our postcode. We can't help you.
Yeah.
But this, it goes all the way to the top, doesn't it, with funding? If the funding issue was fixed, it would probably alleviate all the other problems that follow on
Yeah.
from that. And
Sure.
if funding wasn't an issue, we probably never would have gone through what we went through in the first place.
Yeah.
A lot, the bigger picture.
Yeah, 100%. So much comes down to money, doesn't it?
Doesn't change the reality that so many kids and families are currently being failed and left behind.
Yeah, I think when you see those shoes and then you think that each pair represents a child that is being failed, that's quite shocking and quite sad.
It hit me hard because of what we went through with Bodie. And when I saw all those shoes, I just thought, oh my God, all those people are going through the same thing, but they're all in different
Yeah.
circumstances. Some of them might be single parents. It's heartbreaking. It should never happen. There's no excuse for it.
No, I
And
know. Agreed.
that's our world today, isn't it? You can see the government's well aware of the statistics. They were last year, the year before, 5 years ago, and they know what the answer is. Put the money where it's needed and live up to your mantra, Department of Education, where it says no child will be left behind.
Yeah.
They never even responded to our solicitor.
Didn't
No, nor did
know.
Ofsted. But the awareness is there. It's great that people do social media posts to raise awareness. They're aware.
Yeah.
Well, they're the ones who set the budget.
Yeah, that's true. I guess we've talked about how helpful it is if you've got your child in the right school, but how do you think environment contributes to or alleviates challenging behaviours generally?
Nothing impacts a child more than the behaviour of those around them. Nothing, whether they're autistic or not. We go to a spot to see the trains quite often. It goes through these fixations, planes, trains, swimming, ducks at the minute. So trains were at the time where we were going to the train crossings, every train crossing in Dorset every day. And we're just going to stand there because he liked the big level crossing where it goes up and down. He liked that, and then watched the train go by. And last summer we were at his favourite one out at East Stoke. It's quite a beautiful spot, nice safe place, safe space. And we were there, and some drunk guys were approaching, and they were throwing bottles and sticks, and they were really loud. So I was aware of them coming, and I was like, oh, I need to move because they're going to come right past us in a minute. I moved Frank and Bodie into a field with the cows. He's lovely with animals. He doesn't mind the sat out there. And these guys walked past the river and they were throwing stones at the swans and sticks, and they were being really loud. And as they got closer, Frank was just staring at them and staring at them. And as they got closer and closer, they all went silent, walked past very quietly, very slowly. And then they started again as they got down the road. So It's people, the environment.
Do you find that having a routine helps reduce anxiety and challenging behaviours?
The routine is Bodhi's greatest strength, and your greatest strength will always be your greatest weakness. So, yes, the routine is everything. And he would put the military to shame when it comes to routine. You know, we structure our daily routine to the tiniest movement and thing. But when there's a break in the routine, it all falls apart. So your greatest strength becomes your greatest weakness. A great example of that is school holidays. Neurodivergent children, you must have 6 or 7 weeks summer holiday. And then you go back to school and you spend a month of stress responses because you've now got to get back into the routine. And just as you get back into the routine, it's time for half term. So then you have another 2 weeks off, and the first few days it's brilliant, but then the routine's gone out the window and you get all this falling apart stress response. Then it settles and then you go through the same up and down, up and down. So routine's brilliant. They're very, he needs a structured day, but at the same time, you can't control today's. Go and feed the ducks after school. There's a flat tire on the way, or roadworks in Christchurch like there was last week. Oh my days. But again, you go back to that. Can you regulate your own emotions? Can you calm? Can you validate? Let's deal with this. A lot of us rely on routine.
What do you do in the moment to manage your own stress and your emotions when you're dealing with the challenging behaviours?
My greatest strength is the fire I have in me from the upbringing and the life I had in those early years. I've got no quit in me, absolutely zero. Never going to happen. But sometimes you need to know when to back off and quit, don't you? So we're all different. It depends who you are. I always believe that will beats skill. Skills always run out, they always get tired, but your will, mine is just, it's unwavering. It's never, ever going to fizzle. It comes back to regulating your own emotions, learning new behaviors, and teamwork, support.
Do you do anything like breathing techniques to sort of keep yourself calm?
I've tried it, but I got bored of it.
Doesn't work for everyone.
We're just all different, aren't we? What
Yeah.
works for one might not work for somebody else. So I think the answer for anybody is to find out what works for you by learning new things and trying new things. Me is picking up my camera,
Yeah.
which is where that whole journey started on Waveslider 2020 New Year's Day. I was on my third night without sleep. Bodhi was completely non-verbal, zero eye contact. We were doing 50,000 steps a night in the house, where he would go upstairs, strip all the beds, strip all the cupboards, come downstairs, strip everything. And he would just repeat. He wouldn't sit down. He wouldn't slow down. He wouldn't make eye contact. He wouldn't engage. And we'd been doing this weekly. Charlie was at A&E. She was still an A&E nurse. So I was the main carer. And that's what it was like every week. And at the time, I was really stressed because are we ever going to hear his voice? Will I ever be able to? I had all my own stresses. This is before I learned that he was happy and that I needed to learn to let go of all my stresses. But that night, New Year's Day, it was about 3 in the morning. I was ready for throwing Bodhi at the wall. I had had enough. So I sat on the floor in the corner of the kitchen and I was emotional. I'd had enough. But I knew that I couldn't do what I felt like doing. So I picked the camera up and took a picture of him in the dryer. I won an award for that picture of him sitting in the dryer. And that is where I learned to start building a coping strategy. And for me, it was picking up the camera. I did a placement at an acute day service. I created a photography workshop for people with mental health. And by the end of the placement, it was full.
Wow.
People were trying to book me. Picking up a camera, you can do that with your phone. You can do it inside, outside your bedroom, daytime, nighttime. It's a brilliant way of regulating your own emotions because it breaks the here and now. It can help you be creative, which changes your mindset, stops intrusive thoughts, which I guess is what I was having. So again, it's learning what works for you. But to do something is better than nothing.
Yeah, definitely. And you take some amazing pictures.
I've done it ever since. That is why I've been documenting our journey on Waveslider because of that night sitting on the kitchen floor. I've seen countless times on the news some parents killed their autistic child. And when you look on Facebook, the world of Facebook out there is just disgusting at times. They are judge, jury, and executioner, lock them up, cold-hearted killer. And when a parent takes the life of an 8-year-old autistic child, what kind of life have they had for the last 8 years? What lack of support have they had? What lack of sleep have they had? And I'm not justifying what they do in any way, shape, or form, but what I'm saying is I can understand how some people can snap and break. Maybe some people did try and reach out for help and support and it wasn't there. Maybe they were dismissed. I just find it really sad. But I was at that point where I felt like doing that, and I had all the support in the world around me, but I still had to have him by myself. You know, it's really hard. It's hard. So it's a case of finding something that works for you. If you do struggle to that point, is to make sure you do reach out. I did actually reach out. I phoned the mental health crisis line and I spoke to some guy. I did a Teams meeting with him and he did breathing exercises with me. I really appreciate his time and effort and his sincerity for being there. But for me, it just didn't work. The camera is what I pick up when I get stressed. I wanted to do that to show other parents out there that you're not alone. We are not in the same boat, but we are in the same storm.
So, what advice would you give to parents who are struggling with challenging behaviours?
My golden rule in life, always quit tomorrow. I quit tomorrow daily. Not so much these days, because since I've learned to regulate my own emotions and since I've learned to change my behaviours, my parenting style, these stress responses are reducing. The duration reduces. Seek help and support if you need it. There are plenty of people out there and numbers you can call. Something, even if it's just a case of breaking the here and now. And when you go to bed at night time, we're human beings. No matter how hard we try, no matter how much we change what we do, we are not going to get it right all the time. So when you go to bed at night, don't beat yourself up. Tomorrow, you'll do better. The other night from work, and I was knackered. I'd been at it all day. Bodhi wanted to go and let some fireworks off. All I wanted to do was have a pee, eat my food because it was ready, have a drink, and I'm ready to go. Give me 5 minutes. He took my dinner off me and threw it in the bin. Right, your dinner's finished now. Let's go. And there was this wave of fire that came over me. And then I came and snapped out of it and I went. But when I got in bed that night, I realized just it doesn't matter how prepared you are, much you do, we're human beings. We have our own needs to meet first. And at times when you're poorly, when you're hurt, when you've got other things going off in life, nobody out there is going to learn to be half hitman, half monk, because we're human. And I think there's a lot of undiagnosed parents out there in the neurodivergent world.
Yeah,
Yes.
definitely. Yeah.
So they've got their own struggles on top of the stresses. It's difficult, isn't it?
It
That's why I
is.
say you reach out, get support. And if you're an undiagnosed parent yourself, and go and speak to somebody and start to get that support network for you, because we have to look after ourselves, don't we? And I know how hard it is to do when you've got no one to babysit and it's just you. Always quit tomorrow. Don't beat yourself up. Be a human. Just do better tomorrow.
That's
Yeah,
brilliant
really good
advice.
advice. What changes would you like to see in the world to make it more inclusive for neurodivergent families? I'd love the system to change. We are still working on the same system that was written by American sociologists in the 1950s after the war. American sociologist Talcott Parsons wrote the sick role. I don't know if you've heard of this, the sick role in society. So if you fall over and break a leg today, there's a social expectation on you to go and see a doctor. And then the doctor diagnoses you, you've got a broken leg. There we go, 6 weeks, we'll sign you off work, you go back to work. So you then go to work and you say, I'm going to be off for 6 weeks. Because the Western medicine was based on a car. You either have something electrically wrong with you or mechanically, which is why there's no room for mental health. Because when you go and see someone with depression, nobody knows how long it's going to be before you're better or normal. I'd love to see the system change so that it's up to date and fit for purpose. If you change those systems, you change the social norms. If you didn't conform and you weren't a functional member of society, you were a deviant member of society. I think is where a lot of stigma comes from. So if we can change the system, we can start working towards changing those social norms, discrimination, stigma, judgment. People standing there filming you when you're trying to validate and calm your child who's having a stress response in the middle of a store. It's not woke shit parenting. How
No.
about just giving some support, time and space,
Yeah.
or get a Frank?
I think we all need a Frank. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming back on the podcast today, Carl. It's been great to talk to you again.
Thank you for having me again.
Where is the best place for listeners to go to connect with you?
Waveslider Photography.
If you're listening to this thinking, I'm exhausted or I'm struggling or I don't know if I can do this today, we just want to say that you're not alone. And as Carl put it so perfectly, always quit tomorrow. Rest, reset, and try again. And as always, thank you so much for being here. If this episode resonated, please share it with another parent or carer who might need to hear it. Until next time, take care.
Thanks for joining us today on the Autism Mums podcast. We hope you have found a little support, a little solidarity, and a reminder that you are not in this alone. If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you'd follow the show and share it with another parent or carer who might need to hear it. And if you've got a story or a moment you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you at www.theautismmums.com. Until next time, take care.